This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
How to deal with hardship with your family as a convert?
SubhanAllah, this is something that, first of all, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help the sister in her situation. May Allah azza wa jalla give her ease in her situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give hidayah to her family and guide them to Islam and make her home a place of tranquility that supports her in her deen and all of those that are like her. Allahumma ameen. This is where finding strength in the Sahaba is so crucial. There is no companion except that they had some element of this in their lives, because this is a generation of converts to Islam. And deriving strength from them in that regard is absolutely crucial. In fact, the scholars mentioned the only person whose entire family eventually became Muslim is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which is why in Surah Al-Ahqaf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the person, where Allah talks about a person who reaches the age of 33 and then reaches the age of 40, and they look back and they essentially thank Allah for blessing them, their parents, their children, all with Islam, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct them, to rectify all of their affairs, and to make them grateful for that great blessing of Islam. So scholars say this is only Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whose parents became Muslim, and that took time for his father. His father didn't become Muslim until Fatah Mecca, until the conquest of Mecca. His spouse, his children, all became Muslim. So all the other companions had to deal with an element of this, and it is certainly a great test, but a great reward. I think the main thing is to understand that, inshallah ta'ala, the more that you stay composed, just like the Prophet ﷺ and the companions, and composure is from patience, the greater likelihood that eventually they'll get frustrated with using methods of agitation if it's not working. And inshallah ta'ala, they come around. And we've seen this happen multiple times where a sense of appreciation actually develops for that sense of composure. And, you know, they kind of back off, inshallah ta'ala, and hopefully even see the beauty of your character and your insistence upon that way, especially when someone first converts to Islam. And I know we have a lot of converts here, mashallah. May Allah bless you all and keep you steadfast and firm. The initial stages, your family is going to resort to whatever tactics they possibly can to get you to reverse that decision. Once they kind of give up on getting you to reverse that decision, then it's usually like, all right, well, let's figure out family life now. Now we're going to negotiate the new reality that you're a Muslim. But initially, it's going to be a very tough situation.
We good?
Ready?
Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا مما بعد. Welcome back to our late night khatiras from Valley Ranch Islamic Center. We're studying together the book of Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah رحمه الله تعالى عدة الصابرين وذخيرة الشاكرين, the excellence of patience and gratitude. Last night, Sheikhna, we talked about the essence of patience. We talked about the meaning of it and different categories in terms of the different levels of patience and so forth. So tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're studying, for those who have the book with them, chapter five, and that is fi aqsam al-sabr, meaning the categories of patience, bi'tibari mahallihi, categories of patience in regards to the place or how it was exercised. How do you exercise that? They said, bi'tibari mahalli, it's conditions in the translation, but actually, patience, and where do you exercise that patience, and how do you exercise that patience? Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala yaqul, as-sabru darban. When it comes to patience, two categories, the two types of patience. Darbun badani wa darbun nafsani. One is physical, and the other one is mental or psychological. Meaning you exercise physical patience and psychological, mental patience. وَكُلُّ مِنْهُمَا نَوْعَانِ. Each one of them can also be divided into two other subcategories. اِخْتِيَارِيٌ وَاطِّرَارِيٌ. Optional and obligatory. The meaning of saying optional and obligatory means, optional meaning you have a choice. You have a choice in being patient in that category. And the other one, you have no choice in this. قال فهذه أربعة أقسام. As a result, we divide patients to four categories. Number one, البدني الاختياري. Physical, that is optional. كتعاطي الأعمال الشاقة على البدن اختيارا وإرادة. Such as enduring hard activities, you know, physical activities. So this is in this situation. You deal with carrying, for example, certain loads, dealing with certain difficulties, physical difficulties, and so on. You have a choice in that. الثاني البدني الاضطراري. The second category, physical, that is obligatory. Like I have no choice in that. كالصبر على أدم الضرب والمرض والجراحات والبرد والحر وغير ذلك. He says such as being patient over the pain of being beaten or illness or being cut. Dealing with the cold weather, the hot weather. Like, I don't have any choice in the weather being cold or being hot. So I'm going to have to endure that. I have no other choice but to endure the pain that is associated with this kind of, you know, situation. The third category, قال النفساني الاختياري, that mental, psychological, and is considered optional. كصبر النفس عن فعل ما لا يحسن فعله شرعا ولا عقلا. Such as enduring patience over matters that are not suitable to do, whether legally, شرعاً يعني, or intellectually, so, or rationally. Like what, for example, something that Allah says it's haram to do, so you kind of like, you stay away from it, you know, by choice. قال والنفساني الاضطراري. Then you have mental that is obligatory or have no option on you to endure that. كصبر النفس عن محبوبها قهرا إذا حيل بينها وبينه. Such as someone has to be patient over the loss of a loved one with, because of circumstances they have no control over. Like no, you can't do anything about this. In this case, you're going to have to endure that kind of patience that he talked about. So he says over here, these are the four categories. Then, رحمه ta'ala, he mentions now for us humans, he goes, look, did you understand these four? Now hear this. فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ هَذِهِ الْأَقْسَامِ. If you now recognize these four categories, فَهِيَ مُخْتَصَّةٌ بِنَوْعِ الْإِنسَانِ دُونَ الْبَهَائِمِ. These are exclusively for humans, these four categories together, exclusively for humans in that sense. وَمُشَارَكَةُ الْبَهَائِمِ فِي نَوْعَيْنِ مِنْهَا. However, we share two with animals. With the animals, we share two of them. What are these two ones? Can you guys guess them? The two categories of patients that we share with the animals. What are they?
Without reading the book, so.
Without looking at the book, right? But what are they? So we have physical, optional, mental, optional, physical, obligatory, mental, obligatory. What do you guys think? Just the physical? The obligatory, both of them, because the animals have no choice. So therefore, he says over here, therefore, صبر البدن والنفس الاضطراريين. Your endurance, the physical and the mental, when you have no choice, you just like the animals have the same thing too. So he says, وقد يكون بعضها أقوى صبرا من الإنسان. Sometimes these animals are actually, they endure that kind of pain more than human beings. They can handle this physical pain more than human beings. وإنما يتميز الإنسان عنها بالنوعين الاختياريين. Humans, they are preferred over animals because of the optional ones, not the obligatory ones. قال وكثير من الناس تكون قوة صبره في النوع الذي يشارك فيه البهائم لا في النوع الذي يخص الإنسان فيعد صابرا وليس من الصابرين. He goes, strangely, some people, they can endure the hardship and become more patient in these obligatory ones, physical and mental, more than animals. Like they're stronger than animals dealing with these kind of categories of pain. And then people, they look at them, they think they're very patient. He said, but that's not the patience we're talking about. Because the patience for humans is much more superior than the one that we share with the animals. Nah.
So, subhanAllah, there's so much here. And actually, an author who compares very frequently animal instincts to human instincts is Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has lengthy discourse on this comparison between human beings and animals in this sense. So ideally, once again, you know, you want to be a person who has patience both with the things that are going to happen to you regardless, physically and psychologically, and you're going to want to exercise optional patience physically and mentally when those things happen. Now, there are a few things to look at this. And Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, says, first and foremost, look at the animals and the wonder of these animals and what they're able to bear. You know, you would think that, how is it possible for a physical creature to be able to bear these things? Like, for example, a penguin will walk, don't ask me why I know these animal facts, sorry, I just love animals, okay? But, you know, when you talk about a penguin that walks 8,000 miles in a year, subhanAllah, think about that. You know, walking 8,000 miles in a year. Or, you know, you talk about an elephant, right, and carrying 7 or 10 tons, right, or something of that sort. Or you talk about what, you know, an eagle carrying, you know, 6-7 times its weight, being able to carry 6-7 times its weight. These are wonders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us of endurance, of strength, in these animals, in these small animals sometimes that can do incredible things, that have these incredible feats of strength. And he's saying that, you know, you wonder at these things and you realize your superiority to them is not that. Like, you're not strong, you're not better than the animals because you're stronger than them, because at the end of the day, they have strength that you don't have. Many of them have strength and they have capabilities that you don't have. What distinguishes you as a human being is that voluntary, and that voluntary is a great wonder. Now, another thing to take into consideration here is that the voluntary exercises of patience make the involuntary so much easier to bear. If you don't have the voluntary exercise of patience, you will not be able to bear the involuntary. All right? Hence, sabr, fasting, is called a practice of sabr. It's called a practice of patience. When a person psychologically deprives themselves from things that they are not able to, or that they're able to have, but at the same time they have this sense of discipline with their desires, then when they're cut off from things that they want, they're not going to suffer as much because they already voluntarily cut themselves off from things that they want. When a person exercises physically, you know, endures physical strength training, then when they are subjected to a physical hardship, they're not going to suffer as much as the one who never endures any type of voluntary physical hardship. However, the voluntary is never a goal in and of itself, nor is it for the sake of inflicting self-harm. It's to actually prepare yourself for those moments. It's to actually prepare yourself for the time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes you with something that that you'd otherwise be unprepared for. Another thing that the ulama mention here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sometimes test you with the involuntary to strengthen the voluntary. So you test yourself, and I hope you all can catch this point inshallah ta'ala, because it's going to phase very well into the next part of this chapter. You discipline yourself with the voluntary, Allah disciplines you with the involuntary. You discipline yourself with the voluntary, Allah disciplines you with the involuntary. Meaning what? The practice of the voluntary deprivation, the practice of the voluntary discipline is going to make dealing with the involuntary hardship so much more bearable. But then, when Allah puts you through the involuntary hardship, your appetite's going to diminish for this dunya. Your desires will diminish. Allah will show you in your times of hardship strength that you didn't even know that you had. You know, if you told Ayyub alayhi salam before what happened to him, what was going to happen to him, no way I could take this. If you told Ya'qub alayhi salam what was going to happen to him before it happened to him, how am I going to deal with this? You told Yusuf alayhi salam, by the way, the next 2 decades of your life, you're going to be between slavery, a well, abandonment, prison. I mean, he might panic, right? But Allah brings about you in those moments strength that you did not even know that you had. That's where Allah brings out the ajaib of the insan, the strange things, that strength within a human being. And Allah expands your capacity. Allah expands your capacity.
Shaykh, if we're going to use some of the modern techniques or modern actually terminology in regard to what Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimullah was speaking about over here. So how come we have the voluntarily basically, which is the optional ones right now, versus the involuntarily that we associate with the animals? The difference between the animals and the human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give animal choice like he'd give human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not testing the animals the way he's tested the human beings. So that's why he gave us free will. He gave us the aql, rationale by which we make decisions, and he gave us consequences between Jannah and Jahannam. That's not the case for the animals. So as a result, we share with the animals almost same things. Like what? The thing that we share with the animals, like desires. Desires. These animals have desires. They call them instincts, obviously. So at certain point in their life, they have to mate. At certain point, when they get hungry, they have to eat. So the animals, when they eat right now, when they get hungry, do they even check if it's zabiha or not, halal or haram? They don't care. If a lion gets hungry, it's going to go and jump into this herd of whatever animals are there. It doesn't care if it's going to be a baby or an adult animal that it's going to prey on, right? It's us, when you watch National Geographic and you see the lion, you know, captures a baby fawn, for example, you start crying for it. You're just like, oh, little baby, right? The animals is just happy. That lion is happy. Why? The difference between the humans and the animals in this regard, these instincts, or what we call them desires for us human beings, being legally codified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with certain rules, regulated. The animals, there's no regulation. You are hungry, eat. What kind of animal? Doesn't matter. Zabiha, who cares? Just eat it. Can I eat a boar? For the humans, we can't eat that, right? For the animals, they eat it. So they were not codified as they were codified for human beings. Therefore, their patience, their endurance is involuntarily, because when they're hungry, they cannot find an animal. They run after the animal, they cannot catch it. They're going to go hungry for the next few hours. What are they going to do? They're going to start whining about this? No, wait for the other opportunity to jump another animal. Humans are different. Even if you're hungry, just because you're hungry, you can't eat this. Unless it's a state of what? Necessity. So as Muslims, as humans in general, our desires have been codified with legal code. That code coming from where? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which means, what makes something right versus wrong? What makes something halal versus haram? What makes something ethical and unethical? For the Muslim, we take these codes from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which what we talked about last time when we said when you measure your patience, you have the measuring stick that comes from the Quran and the Sunnah. I want to make sure that am I being really truly patient or not? What is my code right now? And this is Ramadan. We, alhamdulillah, hopefully we all fast throughout the day, right? But now the quality of your fast, it depends on your endurance. And your endurance depends on how much you adhere to these codes. How much you adhere to these codes. The Prophet ﷺ put a code for us in fasting.